Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game and the Game Nashville app. We're live on the Hiller, from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now is Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Tim, appreciate you for spending some time with us. I know that it is a busy time of year for you. Just looking at Vanderbilt's schedule over the next few weeks, you know, we got Alabama this weekend, then Florida, who has been red hot, Arkansas to round out the regular season. I know this time of year, you know, you're kind of getting bumped and bruises. The injury bug might be starting to hit. The fatigue of the season is starting to set in. How do you keep your team motivated, knowing that there is still a whole lot of work to do with the rest of the season?
I just think you stay very centered on what's happening right now. I mean, we've got Georgia State tonight, and that's a regional opponent, and they're very good. They're fourth in the country in home runs, so you know, you just really have to be, in order to be consistent. We've been consistent. We're not special, but we're consistent when we show up. I think it's the ability just to get in the spot and apply yourself mentally and physically, and we've been able to do that, and that'll, again, be the challenge for tonight's game.
You currently hold the best record in the SEC. Do you keep that in mind now that you are have a few weeks left in the regular season? Do you think about the SEC regular season title, or is it just business as usual for you?
Yeah, no, don't really think about that. I mean, your record is your past. I think the most important thing is how you evolve and how you develop and how you progress as a group. And I think the big part of what we've been able to do is what I mentioned just a little bit earlier. It's just very staying centered and localized on what you're doing. And that's, you know, it really is the best way to handle anything that these guys are doing, because they've got a lot on their plate right now. They've got exams. They have projects they have to turn in. So last exam or week of exams. So there's a lot that way and not a lot of free time in terms of what they have to do. So when they're here, they're just very specialized on what they have to do. We don't try to put too much on their plate. I don't want them to think too much about what they have to do. It's more about just getting in this environment and applying themselves.
We're talking with Vanderbilt's head baseball coach, Tim Corbin. Now, Coach, how have you and your pitchers had to adjust? And I know you guys have been doing it for a while, the clock and getting up there and having a pitch. The MLB has changed their timing for the pitcher to pitch. It's like get back on the mound and pitch. Do you explain that to your guys, your pitchers? Like get back on the mound, let's get going, get into a rhythm?
Well, I think we work with a pretty good pace anyway. You mentioned it. I think we've always gotten the ball and gotten the sign and moved forward. We were one of the first schools to use the wristband system, which basically allows the pitching coach to get the sign in really quick to the catcher and get the sign to the pitcher. It's just easier to play defense behind someone that's working quick. It allows everyone to play in rhythm for the most part. And it's one way you can put pressure on the hitter, too, especially if you're working quicker and you're throwing strikes. So we've always done that. I don't think the clock has affected us too much. We certainly had to be educated to it because it was new, and certainly the Major League clock is a little bit faster than ours. But I think the reality is everyone's calibrated themselves towards it now, and it's much better. There's not a lot of balls being called or strikes being called on the hitters because they're not in the batter's box. I think the game has moved along. It's for the benefit of the game, too. I mean, the game's not a lot of fun when it's 3 hours, 3.5 hours to watch. If the game can be played within a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour time period, I think that's really good for the consumer, and it's great for the players, too, because you get them off their legs, and you think you're playing 70 games in a season, and you can take 15, 20, a half-hour off of every game. That's less time on the field for them, and I think it helps them from a health standpoint.
Now, you got a good mixture of, you know, sophomores, freshmen, seniors, juniors, but you only have two graduate players on your team, one in particular, R.J. Schrick, who we had on a few weeks. What has he brought to your locker room, to your bullpen? not necessarily bullpen, but the locker room. And
he almost ran into the bullpen exactly. a couple weeks ago. A couple times.
Yes, but what does he bring to your team coming from another team, another successful program in Duke?
Confidence. I think when you get a fifth-year player who's pretty good, he had a very good career at Duke. He was a walk-on player, and we had a history with him. I mean, we recruited him, and I think anytime you take on a new player, especially someone who's coming into your program who's got 1 year, the likelihood is you're bringing him in because you think that he can fit into your lineup or have an impact in your lineup, which if that's the case, he's going to take space away from someone else. So I think the first thing is having a great sense of humility, because which a lot of young males have no sense of what that means because they're typically tied up in what they're doing. But if you've got a kid that is very knowing of other people and blends his personality into the group, then that person has a chance to be celebrated by the group, but also be a factor himself. And he has been. And I think his background inside the game, playing in super regionals, playing in regionals, being a good hitter, has a good acumen for the game. And I think he's been a good teacher, you know, ever since he's gotten on the field early in the fall too. Even him being new, his personality is such where he's blended well with the kids, he's blended well with the coaching staff, he's low maintenance kid. As I said, he's got a good acumen for the game, and he's really added a lot to our lineup. I mean, you take him out, you're missing some power numbers, some hit numbers, some RBI numbers, and certainly the confidence that he brings your team.
Tim Corbin is with us, and Tim, I got a chance to see the game on Sunday. It was such a fun game from a lot of angles, but one I want to ask you about, Alan Espinal, backup catcher. This always dawns on me as a great team moment. He gets the game-winning hit. Doesn't start every game, but you can tell he's put in the work, how much the teammates like him, and they just mobbed him like he'd won a regional or something. But that just shows you, it just tells me without knowing him personally, that he's doing a lot of good work back there.
That's right. I mean, you can see that. I mean, I think when you spend your whole life celebrating other people, then when your time comes back around to you, then it's very easy for people to celebrate him. And that he's served a team role in such a special way. This is a young guy who really had to work to get into school here. I mean, he comes from a Spanish-speaking family from Puerto Rico. His siblings speak English. But the parents do not. He taught himself how to speak English by watching cartoons on TV. That's a true story. And he did it in a matter of 1 year. But he's just a special kid. I mean, I mentioned the other day after the game's over, it's like this kid's in the batting cages every morning, not selective mornings. It's every day that ends in Y, which is every day. He's in the batting cage. And he's hitting, and he's getting better at his craft. And that's hard to do sometimes when you're not playing all the time, but it's never slowed him up. His personality stays the same. He's consistent. He's low maintenance. He knocks on my door every day. It's a loud knock. And regardless of what I'm doing, whether I'm on the phone or whether it's the computer, all he wants to do is come in here and he fist bumps me and then he leaves. And that's it. So he's got good awareness and feel for other people, but he's got a high amount of energy. And there's not too many kids like this guy.
You've had a lot of great pitchers, needless to say. I was really watching Devin Futrell closely, and the more I watch him pitch, his changeup is just so good. So how does he develop that? I mean, most pitchers now, you have to have some kind of off-speed pitch. You need that third pitch to survive in the league. But, man, his is exceptional.
It is. It's kind of why we recruited him. We saw that as a ninth grader, and he was tall and thin and wasn't throwing with a lot of velocity. I think he was throwing in the low 80s when we recruited him, but we liked his ability to pitch. And I think in a day and age where pitchers chase so much velocity, and because of that, it becomes less pitching and more overpowering and more injury too, as you can see, both at this level and the major league level, that it's almost refreshing to find someone that can change speeds and decelerate the baseball, and he can do that. He's not void of throwing a good fastball because his fastball spins really well, and actually, you know, it's an 89, 90-mile-an-hour fastball that probably appears because of the changeup and because of his other off-speed offerings, it seems to spin a little bit better, and it's tough for the hitter to pick up. But to your point, I mean, he's one of those guys who can throw the changeup, and he likes it, and he's very skilled at doing it. He's very skilled at everything on the mound. He can hold runners, can field his position. He's got a good acumen for the game. He's a baseball player that pitches.
Derek asked you about the pitch clock, and a lot of us watching Major League Baseball, if you'd watched the sounds last year, you got a little feel for where it was going to be. But for a lot of people who only cover Major League Baseball, it's still pretty new. The players, for sure. Well, what do you think, if you pick a Major League Baseball game that you're watching, do you think it's having the effect that it's supposed to with the non-shifts beyond just the clock?
Yeah, I do. I think it brings more harmony to the game. I think, you know, at first the clock is, you know, for an older baseball person, they may just like saying there's no way you can bring a clock into baseball. Well, if it's applied properly, you can. And basically the clock will not be a factor in time because people will play at a certain speed. I mean, the way the college game was being played, at least in the last couple of years, it made me want to vomit. You know, you can't sit there and watch a game that's a college game, you know, for 3 and 3.5 hours, especially if it's 50, 40 degrees. People don't have that attention span, let alone kids. So if you want to speed something up and get through a game, it just makes sense that you take out the dead time. And the dead time is hitters coming up to a walk-up song, jacking around with their gloves, you know, their batting gloves, and slow getting the box. No one wants to see a practice swing. I mean, that's gross. And then, you know, the pitch taking their time. I think just taking out those dead moments, just watching the guys play, you know, just get to the action. Let's just see the action. I don't want to see what's going on in between. Let's just get to the action so we can see what's being played.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin, appreciate you for joining us. Good luck against Georgia State tonight.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Chat soon. Coming up next, I know it's fun, but sometimes something's got to give. We'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.